Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Weindrich. How are you, Dave?
I'm all right. And that's, you know, that's something.
You know, the one thing that we could really use right about now, I think, is a bar, you know, which would come in quite handy to go and share our experiences, unwind a little bit, perhaps. Make plans, you know, so many movements, important moments in American world history, you know, either start in a bar or involve a bar. So I feel like one of our, you know, main support systems is sorely lacking during these times.
Bars have been closed here in New York for 12 weeks now.
Yeah. You know?
That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, longer than I mean, in our lives ever.
This is the longest I haven't been in a bar since I was 14, 15, something like that.
Back and to be fair,
New York was 18.
I was going to say, to be fair, the before we get any letters, the drinking age used to be younger in New York. Things.
By 15, you could sneak into a lot of bars.
Yeah, so I've been told. So I've been told.
So this has been quite a stretch. I mean, you know, I compare it to other disasters in New York City history that I've lived through. And, you know, September 11th, everybody was in bars, and that's how we got together. I remember September 12th, 2001, sitting in the back garden of a restaurant with my friends, just watching jet fighters fly overhead while we were drinking wine and spirits and just, like, sitting there stunned, you know? But we were together.
Well, needless to say, you know, I think bars, the reopening of bars will be very welcome in New York and around the country once it's obviously safe to do that. And we've seen some markets where bars are reopening. You know, first maybe is to go cocktails and then actually opening with, you know, a limited number of folks that they can let in. And
you know, it pains me to admit it, but it's going to take some doing to get me back inside a bar.
Yeah.
Because of the conditions for spreading this horrible disease are exactly the conditions I like best in a bar.
Right. Close loud proximity. Talking, right.
You know, close quarters, intimate. It's tough. I mean,
a good crowd.
Good crowd. So bars with.
I don't even know how you drink through a mask. I mean, it's
exactly.
I don't know, a straw around the side of it. Well, you know,
maybe you just pour it on the mask and then suck it in.
At this point, I do it.
I do it.
I mean, if that's what it took, I would do it. It's fine. You know, and it's just, and it seems, you know, all of our, you know, wonderful memories being in bars, you know, over the years, over the decades, it seems like some kind of like dream. You know, I keep thinking like,
oh, I know.
Did we really used to be able to do that? You know, like, could I just walk into a bar and sit down?
What a privilege that was.
Not worry about who, you know, how far away people were.
Yeah.
Who's touched my glass and how, you know, if they're wearing gloves.
I remember stuff like, here, have a sip of my cocktail.
Yeah.
If you like it, you know.
Sure. I mean, sure. There were obviously bars maybe, you know, where the, you know, the drinks weren't great or you knew not to use the bathroom because it was truly disgusting. Or maybe you just ordered a bottle of beer because that seemed like the safest choice because the drinks always tasted weird.
It all seems so minor now.
Help us, you know, navigate through this world of bars reopening. We have a special guest, our, you know, good friend Neil Bodenheimer from Cure and Cane and Table down in New Orleans. He won a James Beard Award a couple of years ago for Cure in New Orleans. This was one of the markets that's been able to reopen. Who better to talk to than Neil?
Exactly.
About, you know, what Cure's done, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what how the whole thing, you know, possibly might work for the rest of us once more of the country opens up. Welcome, Neil. Thanks for joining us today from New Orleans.
Hey, Neil.
Thank you guys for having me. It's good to be on with y'all. Get a little bit of sanity.
I have to admit, I wish that we were having this conversation at Cure, which is one of my favorite bars, which is your bar, obviously, in New Orleans. But I'll take this as I guess this is as good as it gets these days. So
it's a down payment, put it that way, for our future conversation in person.
I'll definitely take you guys up on a rain check for that. I'd love to do that.
Speaking of Cure, you're back open. How many weeks has it been now? Is it?
Well, so it was interesting. We opened up 2 months to the day. We opened the interior of Cure 2 months to the day that we closed. So we closed on March 16th, and then we reopened on May 16th. And that was as Louisiana and New Orleans entered phase one, which was 25% occupancy with social distancing and safety guidelines. We had been doing takeout out of the courtyard of Cure for about 2 weeks before that, and you know we had to go get the laws here were pretty tough. I mean, in a lot of cities, you kind of have to be a restaurant to be a bar. And we chose to be a restaurant at Cure in addition to a bar, but we are licensed as a bar. So we actually didn't qualify to even do takeout in the early days. So we went and got something, a really archaic law in Louisiana. I don't know if you guys can believe that.
Not in Louisiana, no.
No way. Yeah.
Called a conditional restaurant permit, which was for bars that serve food that wanted to be all ages during a period of their service in order to serve kids, families, and it was and it kind of existed for 30 or 40 years. So we realized that we could kind of be an official restaurant I actually have to say, Cure had its first baby in it a few weeks ago, and I think ever.
I think I saw one in there once with a fake mustache on.
That was the only way, really.
Yeah.
Oh, my sons! If you keep it that way, my sons will be very happy that you come out.
I've got it now. So. Amazing. Yeah, so we did that in order to do takeout, and then obviously there's been a lot of politicking behind the scenes to try and get bars included in phase one and phase two, which thus far has been relatively successful. I mean, there are a lot of our brothers and sisters in the bar business who don't have kitchens, who are still closed, and they're really, really hurting. And that's not just in New Orleans, that's everywhere. And And then there's all obviously what it means to be open. I mean, that's a pretty heavy burden, and yeah. it's a heavy burden all around. I mean,
so
we
how is it working? I mean, what are the mechanics of being open?
I hate to say it because I'm married to a lawyer, and she's trained me to think about worst case scenario first. I was once told that I had a great negative imagination.
As any bar owner should.
Yeah.
And so I think I just expected it to be horrible. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not been horrible.
Good.
There have been a moment or two that have been horrible. But in general, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think that's the thing that I didn't expect through this is how good I would feel about the way that we're operating how happy people would be to be back in Cure and in Canaan Table, and how happy our teams would be to get back to work. And I think that there are a lot of nerves in the beginning, but it's interesting. You just, you know, people are so adaptive and adaptable, and it's just, it's been pretty interesting to watch. And I'm actually have a much more positive outlook today than I had even a few weeks ago. And that's not to say that that won't change. But I'm cautiously optimistic about the future.
I think that's the best that we can hope for. And the best news that I've heard in a while. So, it gives us hope. Dave and I were talking before about how, you know, it's, you know, as two people who really love to go to bars and have spent far too long thinking about bars and writing about them and sitting in them, it's going to take even for us a little bit to go back to bars just because, you know, of all the health concerns. So, you know, could you talk a little bit about, like, you know, how, you know, that part of it works, you know, at Cure, and like, do the customers wear masks and gloves or?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to put out this caveat. You know, we're working within Louisiana law, and we're adding some steps in that we think are important. There is this very fine line between hospitality and safety. And I think that is, it's a very hard line to walk, and we're trying, and we haven't gotten it right every shift. And I think that the hard part is that we're all wired to default to hospitality. And I think that the hardest part for us is sometimes having to be like, wait, hold on. Safety is more important here. And I know that this is kind of going against what we would do in normal hospitality situations, but we need to be safe first. And that's, I think that's been a big challenge.
What does that look like?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So we have probably 11 tables active. We have two bar seats that are away from we have one bartender working service, and then two bar seats that are away from that, you know, from that bartender, about 8 feet away. So we only have two bar seats in the entire bar, and then the rest are 11 tables. So we have 12 seating areas.
And normally how many people sit at the bar or in the restaurant?
We have 18 bar seats normally.
Okay. That's a big drop.
It's a big drop. But it's been interesting too. So we've taken all of our tables outside and distanced them, and so we have four tables. We used to have 8 tables. So we have about 50% of the tables outside. But of our 11 tables, 4 are outside. So when it rains at 25% occupancy, it gets even tighter. And as you guys know, the summer in New Orleans is kind of rainy. So we've had a few moments where we've had full outdoor area, and then 25% occupancy inside, and we don't have a place for people to wait because you can't do that.
Right.
And we're, you know, in the middle of a heavy New Orleans rain, and we're trying to figure out where to put people, and there are people trying to come in for their reservation, and we can't have them in the space. So they're out in the rain, and you're like, I'm sorry, you have to wait in your car, or you have to wait outside.
Yeah.
And that is just like the antithesis of hospitality. I mean, can you imagine telling someone they have to wait in the rain?
Yeah, under normal circumstances, no. But, you know, I would take it.
Yeah, and we just got savaged in a review for it. And I was like, look, I get it. I really do. Yeah. But we can only do what we can do. And I think that there is just this, it's a fluctuating level of what's acceptable.
Yeah.
In my mind. And sometimes I just have to come to terms with the fact that we're not going to be able to execute the way that we normally do. And that just happens day by day. Or, you know, we're just doing our best. And I think that's, we're doing the same as we go about being safe, and we're doing the same as we go about hospitality. Right. And that's what I've told our teams, is that we can really only do our best and take it seriously and don't take our eye off of it. And if we do that, then we should be able to sleep at night.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I mean, you need your customers to do their best too, you know?
Well, that's an excellent point.
It's not all on you in a situation like this.
That is true. And I think that was one of the things that we learned on day one, was that we spent so much time thinking about our guests that we realized that, you know, the first wave of guests, and, you know, we're in the deep South, and depending on where you get your news from,
right,
you have a very different feeling about COVID-19. So we had some guests that were exceptionally cavalier in the beginning, and it very quickly, I went from thinking, oh my God, how are we going to protect people, to, oh my God, how are we going to protect ourselves?
Right.
And I just think that you just spend so much time thinking about public health when you're going through an opening like this, that sometimes you kind of take yourself out of the equation. And that's been something that we've had to walk a harder line on. After the first few days, we said, look, we have got to make sure that people understand that if they're going to come in here, they're going to have to do their part too.
And
that's a hard conversation to have. And it's particularly a hard conversation if someone's had a drink or two.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah. So we try and set that expectation up front. But, you know, nobody likes fine print. And sometimes that gets lost. You have to have a mask to enter our team. We know we do a scanning thermometer for our team. We don't do our guests. I think we should. I really go back and forth about that. But we've also seen a lot of pushback in the restaurants that are doing it. And per the city, we have to take reservations. To contact trace, we never really did do reservations. So that's actually worked out pretty well for us. Mm-hmm. We've been able at 25% to really spread our guests throughout the night. And, you know, we're only going from 4 to 10. We're going to expand the hours actually today and tomorrow. Our weekdays have been pretty good. Our weekends, we can't approach a reasonable number right now, so we're adding hours to get there. And we've been adding team members and really focusing on finding a way that we can make sure that they're outperforming UI to make sure that it's worth their while to come back and take the risk.
Right.
And it's, thus far we've been without incident. We've had a few people that have run a fever or had another sickness, and that we've made sure that they haven't come into work, and they've been out of work until things are good, and they've gone to get COVID tests. And, you know, it's scary though. And that's the thing. I mean, it just takes one issue, and you're thinking about, you know, are we going to shut this thing back down again? And it feels exceptionally touch and go.
Have most of the team members wanted to come back? Like, have anybody declined to come back until this is over? Or?
We made it pretty easy. I sent out a note. I think it was right before we were going to start doing takeout. And I said, look, guys, here's the deal. I'm so grateful for the unemployment benefits that are out there. And we all have different feelings about what we want to do. And there's not a wrong or a right way to think about this.
Yeah.
We're going to start the beginnings of an operation. If you want to be a part of that operation, reach out to me directly. And if you don't, it's okay. And so I just started a list of people that wanted to go back to work.
Yeah.
And that's how we've rebuilt our teams.
Do you think that what people are, the guests, what they're ordering has changed? Like, you know, have you seen people ordering, I don't know, stronger drinks or, you know, more, I don't know, drinks that are, you know.
Put the whiskey in the glass.
Right. Or I don't know, drinks that transport them to a foreign country. I don't know.
I mean, I can just tell you the way that it's worked for us. I think it's a little bit about what people want, and it's a little bit about what we want to serve too.
Yeah.
Part of being a responsible business person is that, you know, we have inventory that we need to turn into cash before we can start purchasing different things. So we didn't try and reinvent the wheel. We thought about what were comforting classics, what were the drinks that we felt really resonated with people. And, you know, also if you're going to have one bartender, what were the drinks that were easier to execute?
Yeah.
And so we really thought about drinks that cast a wide net, and it's been great. And we've actually been able to pare down some of our selections behind the bar and make some drinks with some spirits that we've been sitting on for a little while, and we found a really great printer locally who has a risograph machine, and he was doing printing for bars. So we made this great single use menu that we're really into. And so every two weeks we just redo the menu, and we try and focus on things that are in house. We've kind of certainly ramped down our syrup production. We've tried to keep things, I think about it a lot. We're trying to keep things a little bit more like 2009 Cure and a little less like 2019 Cure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said a few times that I think that we've just come through a Baroque period in cocktails. And I think that, I think simplicity wins the day. And I think this is about making delicious drinks for people. And that's it. And doing comforting things.
I noticed the same thing doing my lo-fi lush hour on Twitter is like the simple basic drinks, very popular all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You know, all those complicated Instagram type drinks suddenly just didn't seem so much what people needed, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is an exceptionally reflective time. And I think that I think sometimes those style of drinks can be an exercise in ego. And I think that we're looking for us. I think we're trying to make people feel good, and yeah, we're trying to make people feel normal. And it's the difference between, you know, going out for fine dining and, you know, if you looked at the meals that we're selling, over the pandemic, they've been, you know, pretty consistently comfort meals. And so that's, what are the comfort cocktails? And those are the things that we've been kind of leaning on and with a good amount of success.
You were talking about your stock. I know that, you know, at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak, you were raising money for, for your out of work staff by selling some of, trophy bottles. That were in Cure's stock room. Is that ended the auction phase, or are you guys still going to do that?
We did. I mean, I think that I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop right now. What we did is we did it for a while. We wanted to get people money as there were some delays in unemployment insurance coverage. So that was a big part of it for us, is that we needed to make sure that there were people that were either having problems getting in the system, or that just needed a hand up. And so that's where we started. And then once we looked around and we realized that almost all the team had high, we felt that it was time to stop. Yeah. And we've retained some of the money. And there are some people that are still not back to work, and we're certainly keeping our eye on the federal on the federal unemployment, and whether that gets terminated at the end of July, like it's planned, or like it's being planned right now, or whether it gets extended, and we may start it back up.
Right.
But we didn't want to use it when it wasn't needed. And
yeah, fair enough.
If it is needed again, we will start it back up.
Well, that's sort of good news, I think, that we've come out of that phase of the pandemic, and hopefully we'll see the occupancy increase, safely as hopefully this sort of comes to an end, whenever that is. But
yeah, and it's interesting, Noah, that I don't think I'm personally not ready to go to 50%. But I'm also ready to go to 50%, but it doesn't mean that Cure or Cannon Table will go to 50%.
Right.
I think that,
right,
you know, what we're looking for is, logically, can we do it safely? And everything else is secondary.
Are there people talking about, like, mechanical fixes for some of this, like different ventilation systems and things like that?
There are. I read through a pretty interesting study, out of China.
Yeah, I read that one too.
And we actually looked at our, it's interesting, and I'm going to go off of memory, but we have this really odd HVAC system that we put in at Cure. And the goal was to cool the room down really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we had such a lack of space that we actually put it up in this weird area, kind of away from everybody. And we realized that actually was pretty well designed for this. And we have double the fresh air intake coming through. Doesn't change the fact that it is certainly possible, if someone has COVID and if they're sitting at the right table, I think there is one table in Cure that we feel like, could present that challenge. And so we don't seat that table.
Yeah.
Right.
But all in all, we look at our HVAC units and we feel pretty good about the way that they're designed, even at Cannon Table. They're just located well. It's dumb luck, in all honesty.
I mean, have you been talking to people about this? Is that something that people are discussing?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. And that's whether it's in HUA, whether it's in IRC, whether it's in bar groups. I mean,
I think
everybody's looking at it and saying, have I thought through every aspect of this? And, for sure, no. I don't think that we can, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an infectious disease expert. But we think that we're doing it as safely as we know how to do it, given the information.
Yeah, understood.
And the information keeps changing too. So I think, part of it is, as I've seen in New York with, grocery stores and restaurants, it's part of it is just being able to adapt to, whatever information comes to light about the disease and, how to prevent it and, shields or gloves or I mean, it's like each step has been a real learning process, which, when we started off, we didn't know anything. So,
and some of the stuff that we thought was, were best practice.
Oh, absolutely.
2 weeks ago,
yeah, certainly exactly.
Not. And, 2 weeks ago seems like 5 years ago. I mean,
really.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And honestly, it is. We're taking it day by day. I think, I don't know if I watched the Michael Jordan documentary because I was Michael Jordan fan and I wanted to see it. And there was something at the very end of it that I thought was really telling about about where we are. And I think someone mentioned that Michael Jordan was the most present athlete they had ever encountered. And I think that is it, if you're not present right now, it's going to be very hard to weather this. If you zoom out too much, it's overwhelming. And you just have to be in the moment, and you have to do your best in the moment. And that's the way that we're thinking about it. That doesn't mean that you don't zoom out here and there. And that was also one of the lessons of Katrina down here, is that, you know, when you looked at the entirety of recovery from Katrina, it seemed impossible. But it's one day at a time. It's one step at a time. And you just do your best until you look back in 6 months and you realize you're in a different place. And then in a year, you're in a different place. And that's what it's going to take. That is disaster recovery.
Yep.
Well, Neil, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I was thrilled to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Neil.
Good luck down there. We'll see you soon. Hopefully, we'll be there. Save us those two seats at the bar until you have more.
My first trip when I can travel is going to be down to New Orleans.
Here's what we'll do. We'll put one Zoom. We'll put one phone in one stool and one in another. We'll Zoom you guys in.
You know what? It doesn't sound bad to me. You know, I would take it at this point. Yep. If you're behind the bar watching you make drinks for a couple of hours and catching up sounds just what the doctor ordered. So that sounds great to me. All right, take care.
You guys too. Be safe.
Cheers.
Dave and I encourage you to drink responsibly always.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.